This conference is being recorded.
This is Donald Hussig with Cancer Action Network, and you are listening to Loving the Earth Pollution Free Radio. Joining us today is Dr. B. Paige Lawrence from the University of Rochester's Medical School. Good morning, Dr. Lawrence.
Good morning.
Would you introduce yourself a little more extensively for the listeners?
Sure. My name is Paige Lawrence, and I'm a professor at the University of Rochester. And a little bit about me, I went to college at Skidmore College in Saratoga Springs and did my doctoral work at Cornell University, and I'm a New York State native. Although I did get a lot of my training and started my career out in the Pacific Northwest, where I lived for about 15 years before returning to New York. Focus of the work in my lab is to understand how our environment influences our health. And we focus a lot of our attention on the immune system, which is the part of our body that finds and kills germs.
Okay. Please give us a brief overview of the state of knowledge with regards to the connections between dioxin exposure and damage to the immune system.
Sure. So unlike your heart or your kidneys, which are organs in your body which sit in one place, in order to think about connections between dioxin exposure and damage to the immune system, we have to remember that the cells of our immune system are found throughout the body, and an important part of what they can do is move around the body. For example, if you get the flu, cells of your immune system will create a little army of cells called lymphocytes that will go to your lung and kill the viruses, and then you'll get well. So our research and work from many other scientists around the world has shown that dioxin exposure modifies the way the immune system works. This is, of course, very hard to sort out using people. In fact, it would be unethical to give people dioxin and see what happens. So, of course, we base what we know on studies using model systems, which include things like using research mice and cells in culture. So we've spent the last 10 years or so trying to figure out exactly how dioxin affects the immune system, and we've really learned a lot. For example, we know now that dioxin exposure alters the immune response to things like influenza virus infection, and it modifies them in a couple of different ways, and these all result in making it a lot harder for the body to fight an infection. For example, dioxin generally decreases the response of those lymphocytes, which can be a bad thing because those lymphocytes are the cells that respond to a specific germ. For example, during influenza infection, if we use research mice, dioxin-treated mice make a much smaller army of influenza-specific immune cells, and they have a much harder time fighting the infection.
Please explain how damages to the immune system are related to the processes that lead to the presence of cancer in the body.
Okay. So many things protect us from cancer, and our immune system is one of these defenses. And so the cells of our immune system constantly look out for things in our body that are different. Now, in the immunology world, we call these different things not self. So when the immune system finds something that's not self, it rallies and destroys it. And that's important to understand how that relates to cancer, because normal cells often change when they become cancer cells. And that change can then be seen by the immune system as not self anymore, and then it can be destroyed. So when someone's immune system is not functioning optimally, for example, because of exposure to some type of chemical from the environment, not only would that person be at higher risk of infection, but also of developing cancer, because the tumor cells are not going to be detected and destroyed as well. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
So, and you have seen this. This also is a matter of what you have observed in your research involving animal models.
Not my lab specifically. Other labs have looked at models of cancer. My lab has really focused on models of infection and how does the body respond to an infection.
Okay. What quantity of dioxin exposure is sufficient to cause damage to the immune system?
This is perhaps a little bit frustrating to hear for all the research that we've put into it, but we really don't have a satisfactory answer to that question in people.
Okay.
We really don't. And part of the problem there is it's very hard to study the immune system of people, just for, again, as I said, for ethical reasons. So we can just extrapolate, and the extrapolation is very controversial.
Yes. Well, then, say if we were just to talk about, you know, immune system damages that have been observed with the mouse model or with the rat model or some other, you know, mammalian model. Is there any, you know, is the answer to the question any different, you know, as far as what quantity of dioxin exposure would be causing this damage in the mouse?
What we typically use in our research, exposure levels that are in the parts per billion range. So that's a pretty low level, if that helps. But the other thing that I want to just interject is that we don't know if there's a safe level. And there's something that I think that's really important to bear in mind is that our work and work from others have consistently shown that the developing fetus and newborns are much more sensitive to chemicals, not just dioxins, but other chemicals from the environment too, than our adults, because an adult has a fully mature immune system. And I point this out because determining safe levels also gets really complex. You have to think about not only levels in the environment, but how our body changes throughout life. And this later sort of aspect is something that we've only come to appreciate very recently. So the bottom line, when you think about it, is that an exposure level that may be safe or safer in one group of people may not be as safe for another. And that's another reason why it's very frustrating and difficult to answer that question of, you know, what is a safe level.
Okay. Well, I'm very glad that you brought up this whole matter of these, so to speak, windows in, you know, in life, in development in particular, when there's a greater susceptibility to, you know, damages from a certain amount of exposure. And certainly, you know, the fetus and the embryo and all these various stages of human development that occur in utero, those certainly are windows when there's a greater risk imposed by a certain amount of exposure. It appears, well, I'm going to skip, switching gears to a previous question. In a report issued by the state of Maine, it was stated that breathing the smoke from a burning barrel, a barrel that was burning a mix of plastic and other waste, such as, you know, people have in their homes and want to dispose of in this manner, this open trash burning, that imposes enough dioxin exposure to lead to developing a cold due to immune system damages caused by this truly minute quantity of dioxin exposure. It certainly wouldn't be in the parts per billion range, or the parts per trillion range. Can you comment on this information?
First of all, I can definitely comment on open burning. Open burning of trash is one of the primary sources by which dioxins and many dioxin-related pollutants get into our environment nowadays. However, I've not seen this particular report from the state of Maine, so I can't comment on it specifically.
Okay.
But I think you also have to be aware when you think about reports like that, that, of course, smoke, especially smoke from open burning, has many kinds of toxins in it, not just dioxins. And, of course, smoke is pretty irritating to the lungs. So.
Yeah, but I was, you know, I always felt that I should really try to dig into that more myself, because truly that was, you know, that's something that, you know, it's more like this acute, instantaneous, well, not nearly instantaneous, but, you know, certainly not in the time frame of, say, cancer, you know, causation. It's good that, you know, I'm happy to find things wherein people can more readily grasp the connection between the exposure and the health, you know, the damage to health. And that is, you know, something like that. If, you know, if people were concerned about breathing this trash burning smoke because they didn't want to get the flu and colds and these types of things, that was certainly be a plus in, you know, getting this practice, you know, behind us, you know, terminated and eliminated. Okay, let's see here. It appears that immune system dioxin damage occurs at quite low levels of exposure. Is there a safe level of dioxin exposure when it comes to protecting our immune systems?
And that goes back to what we were talking about earlier, how there really isn't a satisfactory answer yet to what is a safe level of exposure. And so the answer is we don't know yet if there's a safe level and what that level would be. And that's something that I think is continually debated and evaluated.
And this question probably isn't even, I'm just going to kind of go a little further afield here on this one. And if it's not relevant to your role, then, you know, we'll just, you know, agree to that. This whole matter of when, you know, what actions could be taken, should be taken, taking into account what you're saying here, that, you know, that it's so hard to determine, and, you know, maybe different ages and different moments and developments and life would be more in peril of a certain amount of exposure. What, you know, what is your advice on what should be done as far as the public and dioxin exposure, taking in all these various complexities into account?
I think an important thing to try and raise everybody's individual awareness of as people think about this and sort of ask that what can I do question is to think about where your food comes from. The main source of dioxin exposure in that people get is actually through our food chain, because dioxins bioaccumulate up the food chain. And so the Institute of Medicine had a report that came out in 2003 about dioxins in the food supply. And really knowing where your food comes from is a very important thing that you can do to know where those animals came from and what they eat. And another thing is that the main way that dioxins are getting into our environment nowadays is through the improper burning of plastic-containing waste. So to really think about the waste stream and to be good citizens about not burning plastics, especially in open containers in one's yard, is another thing that people can do.
Yeah, we're really hopeful that this, see, the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, their ban, their statewide ban on open waste burning took effect last Wednesday, you know, on October the 14th or 15th, I believe it was. And we're just so hopeful now that people will, in having come to this stage, that many people will just think, okay, it's no longer legal, I got to give it up, you know, we're not going to do this anymore. We've seen some people actually in the media, in some of our print media up here in the North Country, there have been people's pictures and their words saying, this is our right, you know, in you know, our, you know, decision to deal with our trash as we, you know, damn well please. We're going to continue to do this burning regardless of New York State DEC's regulation. I'm just hoping that they'll learn the lesson of being fined and, you know, suffering that consequence, and they will change that, you know, by that route.
I think legislation is always a good way to affect change.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wonderful that we do have these various ways of getting, you know, basically something on the books, you know, something that makes a bad thing illegal, you know, so that something can be done through a, you know, a process of government to bring it to an end. And truly, the New York State Legislature struggled and struggled and struggled with this particular matter. They, you know, the Assembly banned open burning in its bill, you know, long ago, decades ago at least. But the New York State Senate was never able to even discuss a bill on the floor of the Senate. And so it's just wonderful that there was this other option. DEC jumped in and did a regulatory ban, and it's on the books. It's Part 215 of 6NYCRR, the codes and rules and regulations of New York State, and the part that's relevant to the Environmental Conservation Department. And it's good. You know, we have these law enforcement people, these environmental conservation officers, who are charged with enforcing this regulation. They have a 24/7 kind of tips polluters line, where they dispatch the officers to these problems. We have, you know, our county sheriff's department has agreed to help out on enforcing this ban. And it's just, it's wonderful to see it all come together. And certainly, it would not have come together like this without the research that your laboratory and these various other people that have given their life, you know, basically their career has been dioxin and health and how to, like, you know, somehow better understand what is taking place in our bodies when dioxin gets in there. I really want to honor you for all the work that you're doing.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very kind of you.
Yeah, just like, where will we be? You know, without this science, we'd be just like, we'd be smelling that bad smell and thinking, oh, I don't like the smell of plastic burning. Surely there's something wrong with this, but, you know, we surely couldn't have got any regulations passed or any place near this kind of progress without the dioxin reassessment from EPA. Without your research, without Dr. Schechter's research, without, you know, many other people's, you know, research into what is happening in our body when dioxin is in there. And I really, you know, just can't say it over enough, you know, honor to Dr. Lawrence.
thank you very much.
Yeah.
Well, it's been wonderful talking with you, and I look forward to interviewing you again in the near future.
Okay.
Bye.
You take care. Bye-bye.